Amen. Appreciate you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Oh, man. It's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? It really is. And I know we've been wanting to see it. But now it's here. We're going to probably be wanting a little cool weather a little later. But no, we need to just thank the Lord and what He gives us. Amen. This morning, I just want to take this time and just thank you once again for allowing me to fulfill the pulpit. And like I've told you before, I don't take it lightly because I know it's been some great men in the past that stood here. And I am humbled by that. Really. Because it's, you know, the Lord, you know, I know He does things in order. I know that. But you know, these old bodies that we have, once we are brought into this world, we start right then fading away. We start dying right then. Because the thing about it is, an individual that does not have life, you cannot revive it. But as long as an individual has got a breath, then you can revive it. And you know, I'm trusting the Lord that, you know, whatever He wants me to do, that's what I want to be. But this morning, I just want to take time and I know I said something maybe last Sunday night or whatever, of bringing something this morning, giving each one of you, but I left the house, I forgot it. I'm human. I forget. I sure am glad God had forgot about me. But you know, sometimes we do forget about things that, and it's the reason behind it. I don't know what the reason was, but hey. But I will say this. With all of God's blessings, He's still there. He still lives it within my heart. And I try not to disappoint Him. But I do. I fail Him every day. I really do. And I really don't know why the Lord wants me to bring this message this morning. Because I really studied about something else, but the Lord wanted me to, I reckon, see something, grasp something from it. But I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be reading four verses here. And my prayer is that this morning that I can leave here a different individual than I come. I think it should be each one of our desires that we must come to church but not leave the church the same way we come in, because we all can stand a little growth. We can all stand a little more of God in our life. But I want to look on this today as my thought. 2020 vision and walking around blind. 2020 vision and walking around blind. It says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Our Father, this morning, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Father, I know that we can see the light that is shining so brightly outside, Father. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that your light will so shine within our heart and within our souls so bright, that we will not be ashamed of hiding the gospel to them which are lost. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just help us this morning. Touch my soul, I pray. And we thank you for the number of people here this morning. Father, we ask God that you'll give each one of them the desires of thy heart. Father, where your Son, Jesus Christ, will be honored and glorified. And Father, as there is one within our midst today, maybe they've been playing church, I do not know, it's something that you won't say this morning. But Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help me with this message, Father. Help me in what you have put on my heart this morning, that may not only stir the people's heart, but Father, will stir my heart and stir my soul. And Father, we know, Lord Jesus, that nothing will ever be done in your house if the power of God does not leave the throne room of glory and touch thy people today. Father, we want to thank you, want to love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. 2020 vision and walking around blind. There are multitudes, there are thousands of people that we see out here each and every day. Yes, some of them are Christians. Some of them was in church at one time or another. But we see where they have been blinded. They have been sidetracked by the world I hear and by all the billboards I hear. Now, I never could understand why. And why do they have to downgrade people? Why do they have to downgrade the ladies of society today to get the attention of someone else and to get them away from God? Satan will do anything. He will try anything. He's the father of lies. He's going to tell you a lie. And he don't love you. He doesn't love nobody but himself. That was the way I was before I got saved. I really didn't love people. I didn't love nobody but myself. But the day that I got saved, I come to find out there was other people that I could love. There was other people that wanted to tell me that they loved me. And they wanted to see me saved. And then I told them, I said, well, I've been saved about a week and a half or 2 weeks. And I can see the expression on the face. Like that they just come alive once again. But we all are here this morning and we are all here breathing. We all here. Some may really not have the strength to walk, but you're in God's house. And God's going to touch. God will touch his people that will touch the throne room of God. I believe that with my heart and my soul. Because even with Paul over in the book of Acts, and Paul wrote the Corinthians right here, and he wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote majority of the New Testament. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And why did he write so many books? It's because God himself had burdened Paul down for the people. And the Lord God Almighty placed within Paul's heart the love for the church and the love for lost sinners. What does it say back up in verse 1? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed of this book? If you're ashamed of it, then you need to get back into it and you need to fall in love with it once again. And if you fall in love with this book, you will fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ all over. There's no one else that I could love any more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I love my wife dearly, and I love my daughter dearly. But they have not done what my Lord and my Savior done for me. So he deserves everything that I have. He deserves everything. I need completely be sold out to God. Why? Because he was completely sold out for me. He sold out for me. Now, I'm not saying that he sold his life. I'm not saying that somebody else went out here and took his life. No, they didn't take his life. He gave his life freely. That where I could come and you could come and call upon the name of Jesus and he would save you. Because you know some of these people right here, and I've heard preachers say time and time again, that where the Roman soldiers there, that they took the life of Jesus Christ. Well, if the Roman soldiers took the life of Jesus Christ, there's no individual on the face of this earth would ever get saved. Why? Because we don't have enough money. We don't have enough influence. We don't have enough power. We don't have enough to offer the Lord Jesus Christ and to give to him to where he may save us. That's the reason he gave his life freely, and that's what he wants us to do. He wants to give, he wants each one of us to sell out to him freely. He wants us to do what he is commanding and which he has called us to do. Says in verse 3, it says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not. You know how the world today has been blinded? They're not being blinded by Satan. They're not being blinded by their friends. Where they've been blinded at is from the people that's in the house of God. They've been blinded by the Christians, because the Christians are not doing what they need to be doing. The lost sinner knows exactly what the Christians need to do. And they want to see some Christians, true Christians, stand for truth. They don't want no wishy-washy Christians. What is a wishy-washy Christian? That's nothing but a hypocrite. They want to serve him this moment, but if something over here looks a little nicer, offers a little more, then we'll say, Lord, I'm going over here right now. I'll be back, but I'm going right over here now. And then you get over here and you dabble in the world, and then you come to find out, as you're dabbling in the world and you're among the world and among the people I hear that don't want to do have anything to do at all with God, then what they do, they come back over here and they say, God, I'm back. Forgive me. Forgive me for where I stray. Forgive me for what I've done wrong. And you can be faithful to the house of God. You can be here at every service. You can stand up and wave your hands. You can say amen and you can shout to the rooftop. You can shout so loud, so hard that the people up and down this road could hear you. But still be at the will of God. We have so many people today that's at the will of God. We have so many, and not only people, but we have so many churches today. I'm speaking about this because I've seen it. Because I've been to a number of different churches across Pennsylvania County and Danville and even up to Martinsville and Collinsville and up there and up in Mount Airy and North Carolina and preaching. And where they was looking for an individual to pastor a church, they were looking, and they was looking for somebody to come in and feed them. But yet, you go and then you talk to them. Saints
somebody to come in, do this, do that.
They want a pastor to come in. They want a preacher to come in and to please them, to tickle their ears. They want a preacher that will come in with a great big old box.
And they wanted him to come in and with that box, they have pacifier in the box. I started one time in my ministry to go and buy a case of
pacifiers. Do you know something? They didn't got expensive. They get expensive just like everything else. The only one that I need to
pacify is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that I need to please. I have to give an account to God. And you have got to give an account to God.
We all have got to give an account to God. Why? Because He saved us. And we should not hide the gospel to them that are lost. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of this book. And I know that there's going to come a day and time if the Lord tarries. It's going to come a day and time
whether I'm here at this church or whatever way I'm at, that there's going to be a couple that's going to come in. A couple's going to call me and ask me, would I marry them? And I'm going to say no. And I'm going to say no for the reason. Because of the sin that they're living in. The sin that they're living in. And I'm talking about the homosexual group. When a man wants to marry another man, they want to come in and ask me to marry them. When another woman comes in with another woman, comes in and wants me to marry them, and I'm going to have to say no, because I don't have to give an account to this government. I have to give an account to God, because He's the one I'm going to spend eternity with, and thank God I ain't going to spend eternity with this government. So I'm going to have to say no to them. But let me tell you something else. It's going to come a time when that does happen, and when I say no, and it's going to be a bunch of preachers going to say no. I know that. When they say no, the individuals are going to call the city, or the city council, or whatever, is going to be over all of this, because, you know, there's going to come a day and time when I'm going to have to just send them a message. And they're going to have to overlook the message that I'm going to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You don't believe that? It's happening right here in the United States of America already, like in the Midwest. Three little small things. You take them three small things, you won't come up to have probably no more than 10,000 people if you combined it all three of them together. But they had some people there that wanted that to happen. They got into the government system. Now they have to have it. And in them three towns, at one time, now I don't know how many it is now, but at one time I know, because a missionary had told me that in this particular place, Perry, like, the only churches that they had was a Methodist. No, don't get me. I'm not down in Methodist. I'm not down in no denomination. There's one Baptist, one Presbyterian, and the rest of them are Baptist, independent Baptist church. I don't know how many independents we've left in this place. And I don't know how many Methodists or how many churches we've left. But they're having to turn the message. On Tuesday, got to turn it in on Friday, on Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's happening right here in America. You don't think that would happen? Nope. Did we ever think that Sodom and Gomorrah be America? No, we didn't. The day and time, why? It's because we are Christians. We say, well, I can't do it by myself. Look at the movement that Madeline O'Hara started. One individual, but she not only had wounded just herself, but she had other individuals that followed her. What did she do? She got prayer out of school. She got Bible out of school. But thanks be to God, her son gave his heart and his life to Jesus. He got saved. And he will tell you today that he knows his mother is in hell. She has no hope. She has no way out. No way to escape. And I followed her for so long. Why? Because the people in that time wouldn't take a stand in what they believed. This church, I know what it stood on in the past. I know what it believed in the past. Because I knew the former pastor, the one that founded the church. I knew him personally. Talked to him many a times. And I know what he preached from. He preached from the King James Bible. Closest thing to the original manuscript that we have as English speaking people. But what's happened today? No doubt. Not only is Jesus weeping, but we got people that's gone on before us. You got some saints of God that's not with us anymore. It's on the other side of the globe. And they're looking over in the balcony of heaven. And I believe teardrops fall from the eyes. Why? Because they weep. Why do they weep? Because Jesus is weeping. Jesus is weeping every day for somebody to go out and tell the people that you must be born again. It ain't no must to it. You've got to be born again before you can ever enter into the portals of glory. It's the only way. We got people out here saying today, even preachers up here, I've heard a preacher say, well, you know, I can't preach all this what you call this bloody religion no more. My people don't like it. They don't like me getting about preaching about the blood. And they want me to preach about the bloody religion. And they don't want me to get up and preach anything about the ghost and everything. That's what we need back in God's house. We need some bloody religion back in to God's house. Not only that, We need to pray that the Holy Ghost from heaven will come down and bring His power to the people. And I know He lives within our heart, but we've also got to ask Him to bring it power down from heaven. If He don't bring the power down, what have we got?
We've got nothing. We've got nothing. Brass and tinkling cymbals. Just going about doing our thing. Don't make no difference how people out here living, how discouraged they are. Yes, people are discouraged on every hand. People are hurting financially, physically, and spiritually. But we need to get back to God's business. Job was a righteous man. Job was a righteous man. Job lost everything he had worked for. Everything that he had prayed about for God to touch him, to touch his family, and to touch his cattle, to touch his life and everything. But he took everything from him. He even took his 10 children away from him. He even took his cattle, his livestock, took his land, took everything from him. And don't you think that Job won't hurt by that? I mean, just think. Job would be coming out of his home in the morning, and he'd look across the field and see where his cattle was laid over there. Then he'd come in and he would look out the next day or something like that, and he would see where the renegades had come in and took over his land, tore it all up. See his sons and his daughters lose their life. Why? Because Job was faithful to God. You say, how would God, if you're faithful to God, and if you want to do God's work, why would God do that to Job? Why would God take away everything he had? Well, see, God did not do it. Satan done it. But see, Satan wanted Job. He wanted Job as one of his servants. He wanted what Job had. He didn't have it. Satan didn't have it. Now, I don't have a brand new home right here. No, I don't have a brand new car sitting in my driveway. I don't have plenty of money in my back pocket. I don't have $100 bills in my back pocket. I don't have all kinds of 20s and 10, all that in my back pocket. But I'm going to still be faithful to God. I mean, if Satan wants what I got, he can have it. But I'm not going to turn my back on God. And I'm not saying that I am the perfect Christian, because I'll never be perfect on this side of eternity. But it says in God's Word that we can mature in His Word. We can grow in His Word. And when that's what the word mature means in the Bible. That's what the word perfect means in the Bible. The word perfect in God's Word means that we must mature each and every day. And then you go in there and you say, you look in the book of Revelation, see where it says, we have matured.
They have matured. They are mature for what? For the kingdom of God.
I stand before you this morning, a sinner, saved by grace. A sinner saved by grace.
Why? You say you're saved, yeah. Why you're still a sinner?
Flesh. This outside flesh is not saved. The inner man is saved.
Some people out here, they believe that once they get saved, that they're saved from the top of the head to the bottom of the foot, inside and out. Not so. In a man's. Who do we have battle with? We have battle with the flesh. We have battle with the outer man. What does the outer man have battle with? Is the inner man. They struggle.
But it's going to depend on which one wins the battle. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. You know, me, myself,
you may see Donald Mahan. But if you really saw anybody, I want you to see Jesus Christ and Him lifted up.
Because though His word is the only word that will bring sinners to Him. His word. And we must speak His word. He's not going to go and speak to that lost individual that's going up and down the highway on that motorcycle or automobile car out in an audible voice. He's going to use us as the audible voice. And as the presence where people can see us and see our life. That's what He wants us to do. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly home of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, to be clothed upon with our house, which is in heaven. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to end with this. My wife all during the week.
She'll bless, she'll say, it's filthy. It's filthy. But it ain't filthy. It's just lived in. I said, we're not supposed to be worried about the filth that's in the house. We're supposed to be more worried about the filth that's out here in the world.
I know what she's talking about. But now I'm going to say something
to all the ladies that's in here. You know something? When they all get home, when they all get close, you ain't got to worry about it. Please, you don't have to. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God is going to breathe and going to come in and just clean it for you. I'm just saying that. But come on.
Hallelujah. I just felt cool breeze from heaven.
I'll tell you. You need to start telling me. We need to start inviting people. We need to start telling people about heaven. You should not be ashamed of it. Paul wasn't ashamed. After Paul got saved
on the road to Damascus, and before that, God knew. I believe God knew way down in his heart that if he could ever get to Paul,
get him Paul's heart, if he knew that he was going to have Christians that was going to have the backbone of a sorrow, that he would not waver, he would not go astray, he would not have no thought about anything else. And I know that when Paul writing the book of Acts talks about the thorn in the side of the flesh. And I know other people, we've all had different speculations and everything. Some thinks it was his eyesight and everything. I don't think it was his eyesight. But he won't blind it no more. I mean, you know, God saved his soul. You know what I think it is? And I heard it one time, and I had no doubt and disbelieve him.
But I say it's all possible this could be the thorn in the side of Paul's flesh. It's all the Christians
that he had ordered to be put to death. That he went around to all the sanctuaries. Doing everything he could to bring down Jesus Christ. He was just doing his job. Now I think it's time for us to do our job. Paul started a new work, and he done a good work. I mean,
To die is gain. To live for Christ. We must live every day like it's our last day, because we do not know. Everyone stand.
Brother Bill, you want to come get a song? I want to ask you a question.
246. 246.
And even with this question, I'm asking a question to my own self also. Am I doing all I can for the Lord? That's what you need to ask yourself. Am I, speaking to yourself, doing all you can for the Lord? And what He's done for us each and every day. He's kept me safe. And He's kept me out of hell. So am I doing all I can? As we sing.
Softly and tender, 246.
Thank you.